Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 6:37. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. The terrible, terrible incidents in the United States has shed a very, very interesting perspective in terms of the law and in terms of where this crime is going, and in terms of the punishment. And I see that 15 members of Israel's parliament signed a letter on May the 22nd to U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, requesting that she pursue the death penalty against Elias Rodriguez, the alleged killer of two Israeli embassy staffers on May the 21st. In light of the gravity of the crime, its premeditated nature, the likely ideological motivation, and the victim's diplomatic status, we believe it would be appropriate to seek the death penalty for the perpetrator. Now, I find that particularly interesting because Israel itself isn't a country that has the death penalty. So how does this conflict with Israel's law itself? Dr. Tal Mimran is an associate professor at the Tzfat Academic College and the academic coordinator of the International Law Forum of Hebrew University. Tal Mimran, a very good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Howard.
How are you?
As good as one can be these days.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So this is fascinating for me because this is coming from ministers in a country where the death penalty doesn't exist at the moment. Tell us what's happening here.
So Israel actually has the death penalty for two crimes. One is betrayal during war, and the second is for crimes related to the Nazi regime. Right. And indeed, we know that Eichmann was prosecuted and sentenced to death in Israel. And there is also another case, which is less known, of a soldier in the War of Independence that was suspected of betrayal. And by the order of David Ben-Gurion, he was trialed and sentenced to death. And later they understood that they made a mistake. And this case is like a national trauma that prevents the advancement of the death penalty in Israel. And indeed, it is a bit curious, to say the least, that Israeli members of parliament first are asking for a foreign state to operate in a certain manner, that there is a certain respect that should be maintained between different states. In international law, it is called the principle of non-intervention. And this principle dictates that one state should not intervene in the domestic affairs of another state. And considerations of prosecution are definitely the domestic affairs of a state. At the same time, of course, this is a hate crime against people associated with the Israeli embassy. And it is a case of interest for us in Israel. We all followed this tragic event, and we all cried with the families of the two victims. But let's talk about the legal aspect. To the best of my understanding, the death penalty in D.C. was revoked. There is no death penalty in Washington, D.C. And the letter actually relies on an executive order by Trump. President Trump, when he entered into office, signed around 200 president orders, which is a fast track to promote policy. But one of those executive orders indeed dealt with the death penalty and encouraged the Attorney General to start considering the death penalty in cases in which it is appropriate. Now, this is an odd action because there is a principle of legality when it comes to criminal law. And if you want to make changes to your criminal law, be that in terms of the felonies, or be that in terms of possible sentencing, it is usually done by legislation, not by an executive order. So we are in a legal limbo in which maybe the prosecution can try and promote the death penalty based on this executive order, but I don't think that it will hold water in legal terms. So this actually might come in the way of promoting justice for the victims in this case. If you will try to push for a penalty which is not properly anchored in law, maybe the entire trial will be dismissed and everyone will lose.
And in fact, it rather becomes about that. It becomes about the issue of death penalty, not justice for the families of the victims.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the death penalty can lead us to lose the entire affair. And also, we must recognize that there is discussion, there is legitimate discussion about whether the death penalty indeed is a proper punishment and one that promotes the aims of the legal system. And in this regard, every society needs to decide for itself. And the American society traditionally does favor in some states the death penalty, but the community in Washington, D.C. decided to revoke it, decided to stop using the death penalty. So I it will be very surprising for me if a domestic prosecutor will adhere to an executive order rather than to the values of its own community. So what indeed, it is a very tricky situation. This letter, I must admit, this letter is probably more about promoting the goals of the parliament members than the goals of justice for the victims.
Well, that's what I was about to ask you, because it doesn't really make sense to me that Israel hasn't imposed the death penalty on perpetrators of October the 7th, but yet it is demanding of another country that they impose the death penalty for the murder of two of its citizens.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if we in Israel are not considering the death penalty, for example, to the Nukba fighters, which committed October 7, then definitely we cannot encourage other states to do so for a hate crime.
Is it appropriate for a political party, for members of a political party, to issue a demand like this on a foreign entity? Surely there must be some form of controls over how members of parliament behave with regard to international diplomacy.
So in a sane world, members of parliament don't interact with representatives of other states without going through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. But we are living through a unique reality, which is fragmented, given social networks, given technological developments. And in the same sense that today politicians can talk with people directly, they can talk with each other directly through social networks. And we are seeing previous barriers, either barriers of law or barriers of committee, of basic rules of engagement on the diplomatic level between states. We are seeing all of those old systems crumble before our eyes, and reality is rewriting itself. And this is one of the manifestations of the new reality we live in. Anyone can say anything that he wants to whichever public he chooses to at any moment that he feels like. This is a completely, this is a brave new world, but I'm not sure that this is a good sign in terms of stability on the domestic social level and also on the interstate level. Because if you cannot control the relationship, if you cannot control messages which come out from your country towards another country, then things can spiral down very easily.
Are there no regulations that preclude members of parliament from doing this?
So it's more on the ethical level than on the legal level. Mm-hmm. So long as you are not cooperating with an enemy state against your own state, either amounting to betrayal or lesser felonies of the sort, then it is legal in a sense, but it is not ethical, as it goes against the efforts of the government to maintain the relationship with that state. So Israel has a strategy for foreign affairs in general, and of course that it has a very clear strategy when it comes to its most important ally, the United States. And you cannot allow just any person to interfere with that relationship and to impact it in ways that might promote an important interest, like seeking justice for this hate crime, but might come in the way of other important interests as well, so might be even broader than that.
It is very, very interesting. But from everything you're saying, it's really seems to be about posturing, about a statement that mm-hmm. signifies the horror with which Israel received this news and these events. But it's unlikely that anything will come of it. Would you agree
Absolutely.
With that?
It's a political declaration. It's not not an operational one, and I don't think that it's one that will impact reality.
Dr. Tal Mimran, thank you as always talking to us about the demand that the person who carried out the DC killings be given the death penalty. What do you think about that? 061-895-1019. Do you think that this is the right way to go? Do you think that the October 7th perpetrators should be given the death penalty? That's what I would love to hear from you, because it's all very well. We have these conversations and we say, no, the death penalty is problematic and it goes against the fundamental human rights. But when we look at a very specific case, and such as October the 7th, such as this one in Washington, D.C., do you think that the death penalty is a viable and a preferred option? 061-895-1019. Dr. Tom Imran, thank you, as always. It is 6:49. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.